This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. Today, my guest is Colleen Walton. Colleen is a marketing strategist for Brand Acceleration, an economic development marketing firm and one of our longtime strategic partners. Colleen oversees brand identification and marketing program implementation for communities, counties, and regions. She's also a frequent speaker at economic development conferences on topics like social media marketing and how to best spend your marketing dollars. Let's start with, how are ya? Goodness, the million-dollar question these days. And what have you been doing for the past few months?
You know, I got this list of questions from you that things we're going to talk about. And the question I was most anxious about answering was, how are you? I think it's become a surprisingly complex question to answer this year. A personal standpoint, I think the year has been challenging. You know, the news makes me want to cry every day. And it's just been, it's been a weird year. Professionally, you know, I think we're getting through it. I think that's the best we can ask for, honestly. We obviously saw a slowdown because a lot of our client communities or communities that we have relationships with have had spending freezes, or they've had to reallocate some money that maybe they had intended to use for marketing that they now had to use for other things, which is completely understandable. So we've had a little bit of a slowdown in that. We are starting to see an increase in people reaching out to us and saying, you know, we're ready to start marketing again. We always say that marketing is one of the first things to go, but it's one of the first things to come back. And so we've started to see probably in the last 6 weeks, people really reaching out and saying, okay, I think we're through the worst of it. I'm ready to start talking about marketing again. And I'm ready to kind of come up with a plan moving forward, kind of assessing how to move forward, because the way that we were marketing before may not be a feasible plan for other people now.
On your blog, I think it was back in April, you all used the analogy of the leaky boat, but I loved the twist that you put on it. And then I've kind of stolen it, and I always give you credit, but I've used it myself quite a few times. Everyone is sick of the new normal, right? But it truly is a different normal, right? So you all talked about building a new boat. You know, we were plugging the leaks, and now we've got to move forward. And to do that, communities, organizations, people have to build their new boat. So can you kind of take us through that, and what examples are you already seeing of new boat ideas or operational changes?
For the people who haven't read the blog, basically anytime there's any sort of crisis or any sort of less than desirable situation, we hear this analogy of this leaky boat. You're out in the middle of a lake, your boat has a hole in it, and you are just trying to get to shore. You're just trying to get yourself out of the immediate crisis. So you're trying to plug the hole, you're trying to bail water. And I believe that now we are mostly through the worst of it. It's not that things are good, but we're through the worst of it. We have maybe made it to the shore. When I hear people use this term, the new normal, it always sounds to me like they're either accepting that their boat has a hole in it, or they're trying to patch it up and say, we're fine moving forward with a patched up boat. Where instead, what I think people should be doing is saying, let's just build a completely new boat. The boat we had obviously wasn't seaworthy. It wasn't sufficient for what happened to us. How can we move forward, kind of starting fresh, starting completely new, and build something that's going to be more resistant to crises like this that may happen to us in the future? Really saying, instead of let's just start from scratch, let's come up with things that fit the situation that are completely new, very different than what we were doing before. This is where I always struggle, and I have the same issue when I do presentations at conferences. I would love to sit down and say, here are three things you should do and you're going to be fine. These are the three golden tickets, and if you do these three things, everything's going to be great.
Perfect. Give them to us.
I know. I know, man. I would make so much money if I had those three answers. But the challenge is that every community is different, and every community made it through this in a different way, and every community is in a different situation right now. And so really what these people have to do is sit down and say, what challenges do I have? What things do I want to see done in the future? And what do I have to make those things happen? And really work from that standpoint. So for example, one of our client communities, their unemployment rate went from 3% to about 14% in 2 weeks.
Wow.
But I have another community whose unemployment rate is still 2.5%. Because for whatever reason, their industries didn't have the decline, or the state that they're in didn't have as many cases, and they didn't shut down. For some communities, it really is going to be a focus on jobs attraction. It's going to be, you know, I've got this high unemployment rate. I really need to bring in businesses to replace businesses that I lost or supplement some businesses that are struggling now. So I really need to focus on business attraction. Other communities really need to focus on talent attraction. You know, their businesses didn't close, but they still have a low unemployment rate. So they need to focus on that. A lot of communities saw businesses close that contributed to their quality of life. So a lot of your small businesses, your little mom and pop shops, like the local pizza place and the local coffee shop, that were a big driver for them retaining talent in their communities. And now those things are closed or diminished. And so you have to focus on that component of how do I attract and retain the talent that I need here. So it really is about taking a step back and saying, what are the challenges that I'm facing and what do I need to be doing to address them? And then marketing from that standpoint.
Sure. What are a couple examples though of marketing advice, pieces of marketing advice you've given to some of those harder hit communities, like the one you mentioned that went from the 3% to 14%?
Yeah, I think there's two pieces of advice that I would give. The first is going to be to continue to market. And I know this is a challenging thing because a lot of communities are cash strapped right now. They had to reallocate a lot of their money toward small business loans, toward any sort of payroll thing that they had to deal with. It's hard to tell people to spend money on marketing, but honestly, you have to keep getting your message in front of people, because the only way you're going to get businesses to come in or workers to come in is if you're getting your message out to them. So we've seen a big shift toward digital marketing. We've been doing a lot of email marketing for people. A lot of it, we've been using the budget that people had set aside to go to conferences that they now are not going to. So we're reallocating that money to pay for directed marketing, to market sites and buildings, to market about target industries, to site selectors, C-suite executives, other people in the economic development industry. I think another thing, and this is, I'm going to say it's slightly outside of my wheelhouse because it's not necessarily marketing, but we have talked to a lot of site selectors about this, reassessing your target industries. So a good example of this, Lancaster County, South Carolina, just on the South Carolina side of the Charlotte Metro, they back in March announced that they were going to do a big push to attract medical device manufacturing. And then obviously this is going to include like PPE and anything related to that, because they saw not only the shortage that the country was having, but they saw an opportunity for them because they have pharmaceutical and medical manufacturing industries already in their community. Mm-hmm. So they haven't been targeting medical before. They were just targeting manufacturing, but they looked at this and said, there's a need. We have a skill set here already. We have the transportation infrastructure here already for a new industry. And their focus is particularly on bringing those industries from overseas, but you can do that with any other industry where it's like, maybe this thing we had here isn't going to come back, or it's not going to come back quickly, and we need to go after something else, something different that maybe we haven't gone after before. and really targeting your marketing to those new and different industries.
Yeah, great point. I was going to ask you about reshoring because mm-hmm. I know you talked to a lot of site selectors, and we had actually talked to Jeff Finkel from the IEDC last month, and he said he was anticipating and already seeing communities, obviously like you are, shift their focus or increase the emphasis on that. What else have you heard from site selectors on that topic?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of comments on reshoring. So what we did was we reached out to probably 8 or 10 site selectors, and we asked them, what industries do you think are going to see a big reshoring effort? So obviously medical devices is what everybody's talking about at the moment.
Sure.
But I think we're going to see a big, not necessarily specifically to medical device, but about anything. It's like, I think we're going to start to see how reliant we are on overseas manufacturing and how that can cause issues when we desperately need things. So saying, let's try to bring everything back over or a lot of it back over. So we reached out to these site selectors and we asked them two questions. What industries do you think are most likely to reshore? So which ones should we be spending our time chasing? And what things should we be marketing to try to bring those businesses here? We see a lot of communities that have these target industries, and a lot of times they have manufacturing as just a very broad industry that they're chasing. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of these companies that we're trying to reshore, they have very specific needs, and they have things that need to be more detailed than just what we do for broadly attracting manufacturing. Low cost of labor, low cost of real estate. It's going to be low cost electricity, a strong transportation network, so things like that. We're going to see a big push to get electronics and like communications equipment brought over here, just because we've got this, we've had this access to like rare earth inputs, the talent and education that we can market for that. And we're going to see a big push on food and beverage. I think people are going to want to start to see food and beverage manufactured closer to home. I think with the shortage that we had in some of these food products and how long it took to get stuff restocked, I think people are going to want things to be manufactured a little bit closer to home. Identifying what your agricultural inputs are, what your transportation system is, marketing clean water and access to abundant water. So this is really kind of what we were talking about with building this new boat and identifying how to move forward with something that you maybe haven't done before. Maybe you've never gotten into food and beverage, but you see now that you need to. So really identifying what assets you have specific to food and beverage. And I think
perhaps getting a little creative. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but getting a little creative, more creative than they've been in the past, right?
You're going to see things where people are going to try to stand out more, because we see this all the time where one industry becomes really hot and everybody's going after it. A good example of it is going to be the Amazon HQ2. We saw everybody chasing this project, trying to get really creative about getting that messaging out there. We saw it a lot with data centers there for a while. Everybody wanted a data center. So it really is going to be creatively getting your message out there, because I think that just calling site selectors and I think just sending materials to site selectors isn't going to be enough anymore, because you and every other community are doing that same thing. What I have talked about for the last year or two has been authenticity in marketing. So it's not so much about the product anymore. It's more about the relationship and like people are the product. It really comes down to getting in front of site selectors and building a relationship with them and having a personality beyond just, here's a building that I have and it's here's the interstate that I have and here's how much my water rates are. If you go to somebody and say, yeah, I have all those things, but we also have this personality that makes us attractive, then that's going to stand out a little bit more, which is hard for some people, because for so long, this industry has been very straight to the point, very matter of fact. And it's like, here's a fact sheet and that's all you get. And I think that's not going to cut. I think we are going to see a shift to something more creative and more innovative when it comes to marketing, which I'm excited about.
Yeah. So as a brand coach, I was going to ask you, what are you loving right now? What are you telling your clients? What do you recommend? And you talked a little bit about that. I'd love for you to talk more about that. But I also want you to tell me, what are you hating right now? What are you seeing out there that's just making you cringe?
The thing that I'm seeing that's making me cringe the most, and I have complained about this to so many people, is overly optimistic messaging. And I understand from a marketing standpoint, you don't want to come out and say what your problems are, and you don't want to draw attention to any negativity that you have. But I think sometimes people swing so far in the other direction, the messaging becomes everything is great. Everybody loves it. Everybody's so happy. Stuff going on in the world isn't affecting us. It's great here. To me, either you are lying or you are so out of touch with your community and what's going on that you don't see the truth. I think that here's a good example of this. One of our client communities a few years ago was the Joplin Regional Partnership. They've since renamed, but it was a multi-county region around Joplin, Missouri. And unfortunately, Joplin is known for a huge tornado that killed over 200 people. Initially, nobody wanted to talk about it. It's like, let's just pretend it didn't happen. We don't want to bring it up. We don't ever want to use it. Like, we don't want to talk about it to anybody. But what they realized was that they could use their community's response to that tornado to highlight positive things. It highlighted their work ethic, their community support. Businesses reopened quickly because people from the community went out and were helping the cleanup and helping the recovery effort. And there were businesses there who were doing things for other businesses. And so they realized that that was a message that they could hang their hat on. And we didn't have to pretend that bad things weren't happening. And so I would like to see that in these communities. Instead of pretending like you didn't experience any negativity this year, instead really focusing on how you made it through it and really what your community did to support your businesses, to support your residents, and what you're doing moving forward to adapt to it.
Yeah, that was a great example of authenticity in Joplin. That's wonderful. As you and I were talking too earlier, during COVID-19, especially in the first month or two, there was such a swing to transparency in marketing. Right. So yeah, to completely flip the coin on that and go back to some, you know, we are thriving, you know, this is where you want to be message would just be, I think, a big mistake as well.
Moving forward, when people go to apply for jobs or interview for jobs, one of the questions they're going to ask the potential employer is, how did you respond to COVID-19? And how did you treat your employees during this? We're going to use that as how we judge whether we want to work for somebody or not. We can kind of use that same mentality when it comes to site selection. I can sit down in front of a site selector and say, here's what my community did. Here are the things that we put in place and the things that the actions we took to get us through this. And that's how they can judge the resiliency of my community and the business friendliness of my community is how my community responded to COVID-19 and to the pandemic. I think it's something that it can actually, if you did a good job and you did well, I think it's something that you can use to say, you know, we have these systems in place and this is what we did. And site selectors are going to be able to look at that and say, okay, that's something that would benefit a business I'm trying to site. Like that's something that they're going to look for in a community.
Well, so tell me, Colleen, are you hitting the virtual conference circuit now? Are there a ton of virtual conference speaking engagements on your list? Or
you know, I haven't had any virtual conferences. A lot of the conferences that I was going to attend and speak at have been rescheduled. October is going to be an incredibly busy month. The first conference that I have on my schedule that is still taking place in person is the Stand Up Rural America Summit. That's going to be in July. It's in Charleston, West Virginia. And it's I'm really excited about it because I think it's something that's really timely. It's a conference dedicated entirely to rural communities. It's really supposed to be for communities that are small, that have small budgets, that have challenges that are unique to rural communities. And because a lot of these conferences we go to, the speakers that they have, it's like, oh, I'm the economic developer for Atlanta. It's like, okay, well, my county has 12,000 people, so I can't right. do the things that you're doing. Right. And so it is really about marketing and site selection and fundraising and messaging and all of these things, quality of life stuff that is specific to these smaller communities. So I'm excited about that. I have noticed, you were talking about the virtual thing, it seems like everybody wants to talk to me on Zoom. Before all of this, I used to not be able to get people to get on video. I would want to pitch to people and I would always ask, like, well, do you want to do it on video? Like, let's hang out. And it's like, no, I'll just do it on the phone. I'm on video almost every day now. Like, anytime somebody wants to talk to me, it's like, let's get on Zoom. It's like, this can be a phone call. This doesn't need to be a video chat. But no, it's been good. We've also been doing these little cocktail hours, I guess you'd call them, about once a week for probably the last 5 or 6 weeks. We get together with 8 or 10 people and we just hang out and shoot the breeze. And we're using it to kind of replace the time that we would hang out in the hotel bar at a conference or in the lobby at a conference and just connect with our friends and meet some new people and share knowledge, not just between us and economic developers, but between other economic developers. So we've really been focusing on bringing in like the top economic developers in an organization, but also like the number two and number three people or people who are new to the industry and just letting them share knowledge with each other and us kind of facilitating that conversation. And that has been really fun. And we've had a really good engagement with that, really good turnout with that. Typically, our conference season is going to be about March to maybe October. There's a lot of people like Rick and Andy that work for Convergent. Normally, by this time of the year, I would have seen them 3 or 4 times already. And I haven't seen them once. So there's a lot of people that we do see frequently because we're part of multiple organizations that they're part of. So like I'm in SEDC, which is the Southern Economic Development Council, but I'm also part of the North Carolina State Association. So I see a lot of people at both of those events, and I'm just not seeing people this year. So it's nice to kind of be able to stay in front of those people and maintain those relationships that really held over by seeing each other at conferences.
We are very thankful for our friendship and our partnership with Brand Acceleration. Thank you to Colleen Walton for coming onto our podcast today and sharing her thoughts on marketing.
You've been listening to The Difference with Kristen Harper, Marketing Director for Convergent Nonprofit Solutions. Her guest was Colleen Walton with Brand Acceleration, an economic development marketing firm, at brandexcel.com. Review fundraising services from Convergent by going to convergentnonprofit.com. Thanks for listening to The Difference.